Hey, this is Mr. Motown, and if you enjoy that Motown sound, then join me right here on WEBR every Saturday starting at 3 o'clock. We'll shoot back in time to a little house on West Grand Boulevard, Detroit, Michigan. And as we listen to that Motown sound, we'll dance in the street, shop around, and stop in the name of love. That's every Saturday starting at 3 o'clock right here on the Motown Forever Show.
Choose radio. Choose a big stereo. Choose loudspeakers, car hi-fi, compact disc players, and electrical antennas. Choose sitting on that couch listening to mind-numbing, spirit-crushing commercial radio shows. I chose something else. And the reasons? There are no reasons. Who needs reasons when you've got WEBR, Fairfax County's own freeform radio station that's always commercial-free? It's your station. Use it.
This is Kurtwood Smith. At Shriners Hospitals for Children, kids feel right at home. It's that kind of an atmosphere. All Shriners Hospitals pride themselves on this family-centered care approach. Shriners Hospitals provide expert medical care totally free of charge, and they combine it with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. And there's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show. And in this last segment, I want to talk about the president and the president's current position, because it's not a position of strength. I mentioned that the Washington Post had an analysis of Bush's review of Iraq policy and how he came to his decision. The Sunday paper had, as you opened up and read the various pieces about Iraq, and the Post has great coverage. They give you all kinds of detail about everything, exactly what's going on in the ground, as well as what's going on back here. So across from each other on page A16 and A17 in yesterday's paper are these two headlines. The first I just discussed, in Iraq review, Bush resisted managing defeat. And on the other side, 20 U.S. troops die in Iraq war's third deadliest day. So we just had a bad run of luck. We lost a helicopter with 12 soldiers on it, maybe 13, and lost a total of 20 just Saturday, I guess it was. And so what's interesting, and I think it's too early to make this leap, but we know what happened in Iraq today. Two bombs were exploded in one area of a market, and over 100 people were killed. And then there were bombs in other cities as well. So the civilians are taking a beating this weekend. The U.S. had the worst weekend, I think, of the war. But I don't want to necessarily make a direct link, but this long, hard slog that they've promised us, if you escalate, which is what Bush is doing, you can call it what you want, but we're escalating the commitment in Iraq, we may see casualties go up. And if they get, if casualties actually spike here and jump to another level, and I don't mean Vietnam-like, you know, just so we calibrate here, we've lost a little over 3,000 people in Iraq. And we lost 58,000 in Vietnam. So it's not on that scale. But, you know, U.S. Deaths in war have steadily been declining. And we now have such sophisticated weaponry, we can take out large armies and lose very few troops. So we're getting used to very small numbers of casualties. And these kinds of protracted wars or fighting door to door is something we've tried to avoid because it does bring you high casualties. So we'll have to see. But right now, while Bush doesn't want to manage defeat, that is start overseeing the withdrawal of troops, he keeps talking about we must have victory, but again, it's hard to say what victory is. They can claim that it's a stable government that can support itself, but in fact, it's really hard to know who the U.S. is fighting over there at times. We cannot stop the sectarian violence. And I guess that brings me to another piece of this, and that's what will happen in Iraq, ultimately. I'm of the position that there is no victory to be had. You know, Bush is chasing a pipe dream. So we can stay longer, and I don't think the government's going to stabilize. I think it's going to descend, And I think there's going to be violence in Iraq for a few years. Now, everyone's assuming that's a disaster. Okay? There certainly will be meddling from the Sunni, the countries that support Sunnis and the countries that support Shia. But in fact, people are making predictions that they don't really know what, we don't really know what will happen. It may be that the Middle East will stay pretty much the way it is, and Iraq will be violent until it settles down, until somebody gains control. But everybody's predicting that it will be a disaster for the U.S. We actually don't know this. The people predicting this are the same people that predicted going in it'd be easy, or relatively easy. Okay? And that we wouldn't have to occupy. We'd go, get in, take care of it, and get out. Now, why anybody thought that, I don't know, because all the experts I was reading said, you can't just leave after you win. You have to stay around a long time to set up government and governmental structures, which, of course, we haven't been doing very well. So, for me, since there is no real victory in Iraq, the question becomes, how quickly do you get out, and what is the Iraqi government prepared to do? It is true, as Colin Powell reportedly said, the pottery barn rule, you break it, you own it. And he warned Bush, if you break Iraq, you own it. Well, that's coming back to haunt the president. But in fact, oh, and by the way, there is no actual rule like that at the pottery barn. But I suppose we break less stuff in the store if we think there is. But in any case, it is true we have a responsibility to the Iraqis. On the other hand, more than 60% of them want us out. More than 60% of them say that it's okay for insurgents to target coalition troops. Now, why would we want to stay in a country where more than half the country thinks it's okay for others to kill us? We need their support. So it's a mess, but I'm not convinced that the dominoes will fall when we pull out. Will it get messy? Yeah, but it doesn't have to be an unmitigated disaster. Now, I realize that's not much to hang your hat on, but let's go back to Vietnam. You know, people always said, oh, the domino theory. If we don't stay and fight in South Vietnam, those countries will fall like dominoes under the communist yoke. Well, that was nonsense. First of all, the theory it was based on was thin. And secondly, there wasn't a lot of evidence that that theory worked out anywhere in practice. But that was the whole ideology on which we went in, followed the French in, stayed with it, and spent 58,000 lives and hundreds of billions of dollars and divided the country. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but my guess is Iraq will descend into chaos for a while. The president is not going to remove the troops. He's the decider and he's the surger, and he's already said that in a speech a couple of years ago that it'll be up to another president to remove the troops from Iraq. He is not going to have this loss on his record. If we're going to chalk up a loss, it's going against the next president. He doesn't want it officially on his watch, even though it's his war. So I think the next presidential election will be about Iraq, and whoever wins will start drawing down the troops, because that's the political reality. Even if a Hillary is still supporting the war, even if a McCain were to win and believes in the surge, the pressure, the political pressure, would get to either of them, and they would start withdrawing troops. Hillary would definitely, I think. But, and when I say the pressure would get to either of them, that's not a bad thing, right? Right now, Bush should let the pressure get to him. Okay, Bush is basically hanging on saying, I got to stick with this man. I'm sure this is right. No, why would one guy think he's right all the time? You know, John Kerry said during the presidential debates in 2004, when Bush kept reiterating how certain he was on the right course, John Kerry's simple reply was at one point, you know, let's remember that it's possible to be both certain and wrong. So my problem with the president is that I think he's thinking more about his legacy. And by that I mean this. Bush's analysis and Rove's analysis goes something like this. if we reverse course now, listen to the Iraq Study Group, and start pulling out, then we've declared our policy is a mistake. Well, if we claim that we failed, then we go down in history as a failure. But if we stick it out, even if the next president pulls out the troops, and even if the Middle East is inflamed for 25 years, if in 50 years there's peace, people might look back and say, you know, George W. Bush started this whole thing. So I really think that that's what the president is hanging his hat on here. And he can't stand the idea that he may have been wrong. Of course, it's a huge responsibility. Sending 3,000 troops to their death is essentially what, you know, what the account is. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I don't see this president pulling out no matter how many resolutions pass through Congress with how much bipartisan support or how many Americans want him to. That's just, I'm afraid, where we are at. In any case, that's going to do it for another edition of the Andy Finn Show. I'll be back next week with John Clark to talk about, oh, I suppose, the State of the Union address that's tomorrow night, but there'll be some other topics. We'll have some technology issues. We're going to talk about high-definition TV next week and why it isn't here yet. And you can read all about this on my website, andyfinn.us. Until then, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.